Welcome to the Deep Dive, everyone. Today, we're going to be looking into the life of someone really fascinating, Carlo Acutis.
Okay.
He was born in 1991 in London, but grew up in Milan, and he's actually become the Catholic Church's newest millennial saint.
Yeah.
And his story, which we're going to get into today, really seems to connect with young people, especially those trying to figure out their faith in today's world.
It does.
And the source material that we're going to be referencing for this deep dive is this article from Christian Culture News, The Life and Legacy of Carlo Acutis, the Catholic Church's New Millennial Saint. So really what we want to do is understand why Carlo Acutis's life and what he left behind are so meaningful for someone trying to navigate faith in today's world. So we'll be looking at his approach to faith, how he used technology, how he dealt with being sick, and the impact he's had.
Exactly, and that's what makes him so relevant, I think, especially in a world that is changing so rapidly, especially for young people who are, you know, really struggling with their beliefs. Carlo's life really presents this amazing example.
Yeah, it really does. So let's start at the beginning. Carlo was born in 91, spent his childhood and adolescence in Milan. What really struck you from the source material about his early life and how it kind of shaped his faith?
Well, one thing that stands out is just the strong foundation his parents, Antonia and Andrea, gave him. They really instilled those traditional Catholic values, putting a big emphasis on compassion and kindness. And that really shows throughout his life. Even when he was young, you could see how sensitive he was to other people's needs.
Right.
But what really sets him apart even early on was his deep personal love for the Eucharist. You know, starting at just 7 years old, he was incredibly devoted, going to Mass all the time.
7 years old, that's quite young to have such a strong connection to something like that. The article mentions that he saw the Eucharist as this path to a deeper relationship with God. Can you expand on that a bit? Like, what did that mean to him?
Yeah, so for Carlo, the Eucharist was not just a ritual or a ceremony. It was a real transformative experience.
Right.
He truly believed in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, that it is literally the body and blood of Christ, as Catholics believe.
Right.
So when he received communion, it wasn't just a symbol for him. It was a very real way to connect directly with God.
Yeah.
And this wasn't something he was just taught. It was this deeply rooted belief that impacted everything about his spiritual life.
Okay, that makes sense. So we see this really strong traditional faith that he developed early on, but then we see this other side of him, the side that really embraces technology. How do those two seemingly different aspects of his life come together?
And that's what's so intriguing about his story, right? Because it really challenges us to think about how faith can adapt and find new ways to express itself. And Carlo wasn't just someone who used technology passively. He actually used it in a very intentional way to share his beliefs with others.
So it wasn't just about him using technology, but how he used it for a greater purpose.
Exactly. A great example of this is the website he created. He put together this whole website that documented Eucharistic miracles that have been reported all over the world.
Wow, a whole website dedicated to that? That's pretty impressive. What was his motivation there? What was he hoping to achieve by creating that kind of resource?
Well, he had two main goals. First, he wanted to educate people about these miracles.
Yeah.
You know, to make them more well-known and accessible to everyone.
Right.
But more importantly, it was about helping people understand and appreciate the Eucharist on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
He really understood the power of the internet as a tool for evangelization, a way to reach people, especially young people, right where they were in those online spaces.
That's interesting.
And, you know, the impact of his website wasn't just about listing these miracles, it was how he presented them, using visuals and language that young people were already familiar with online. He was kind of bridging this gap between these traditional religious stories and modern digital communication, making them feel current and relevant.
Yeah, so he understood the digital landscape, like how people consume information online.
Exactly. And he even, we don't know the specifics, but reports say he learned coding and web design himself. You know, that hands-on approach combined with understanding how information is consumed digitally probably played a big role in the effectiveness of his website, reaching his target audience.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It is. And he was ahead of many in the church in this regard, really.
Yeah, it sounds like it. The article also mentions how he used social media to connect with young people, breaking down those traditional barriers and talking about spiritual topics.
Exactly. He was a pioneer in that sense. He saw the potential of these platforms for good, for starting spiritual conversations and meeting young people where they were at. You know, his approach wasn't about replacing traditional worship, but finding ways to complement it, to make it relevant in the digital age.
And then in 2006, at only 15 years old, he was diagnosed with leukemia, which is obviously a huge challenge to face. The article talks about how composed and positive he remained despite this. How did his faith help him through that experience?
This is where you really see how deep his faith was. You know, his positivity wasn't just him putting on a brave face. It came from a place of deep spiritual understanding.
Right.
He really embraced the idea that suffering had power, that you could offer up your pain for others. He saw his illness not just as something bad happening to him, but as a way to grow spiritually and to help others in need through his own suffering.
Offering up his pain. That's a pretty powerful concept. For those who might not be familiar with it, can you explain a bit more about what that means within the Catholic tradition?
Sure. So the idea of offering up suffering is this belief that when you unite your suffering with the suffering of Christ, it can have this redemptive quality.
Hmm.
You can offer it up for a specific purpose, like for someone else's well-being or to ask forgiveness for sins. Hmm. For Carlo, it wasn't about passively enduring pain. It was about actively using it to be part of something bigger than himself, to connect with Christ's suffering and contribute to the spiritual good of others.
It sounds like a very selfless approach, putting others first, even while going through such a difficult time himself.
Absolutely. And it's this remarkable nature, his response to illness, his whole life really, that led to the process of beatification.
Right. After his death in 2006, there was a lot of talk about his holiness, which eventually led to the start of the beatification process. So for those who may not know, what does beatification involve? What were the key things about Carlo's life and death that moved that process forward?
So the first step is gathering a lot of documentation about the person's life, their virtues, their reputation for holiness, and any miracles attributed to them. For Carlo, they collected detailed accounts about his faith, his devotion to the Eucharist, and importantly, how he used technology to share his faith. They also had testimonies from people who knew him talking about his charity, his compassion for the poor, and just his generally virtuous life.
Yeah.
After a thorough investigation at the local level, all this information is sent to the Vatican.
Okay.
And in 2017, the Vatican officially opened the cause for his beatification. This means the church recognizes him as a servant of God, someone worthy of being considered for sainthood.
I see.
And a key part of beatification is the recognition of a miracle attributed to that person.
Right.
The article talks about the healing of a young boy in Brazil. Can you tell us more about that event and how it contributed to Carlo's beatification?
Yeah, it was fascinating to read about.
What's so compelling is that people were praying to Carlo for this boy's healing. And he experienced what seems to be an inexplicable recovery. He had this severe pancreatic disorder.
Right. It was life-threatening, as I recall.
Exactly. And after prayers were offered to Carlo Acutis, this boy suddenly and completely recovered.
Wow.
And of course, the Vatican investigated this case very thoroughly. They validated it as a miracle in 2019. And this really cleared the way for Carlo's beatification.
So the Vatican really looks into these claims carefully. They don't just take someone's word for it.
Absolutely. They have very strict criteria, usually requiring medical records and expert opinions to rule out any natural explanations.
I see.
Recognizing this healing as a miracle means they believe Carlo can intercede with God on behalf of others.
And the fact that he's the first millennial to be beatified is pretty significant in itself, right? It really shows that holiness isn't just something from the past.
You're absolutely right. And that's a huge part of why he's so important. The article really highlights how he's become this powerful symbol for young Catholics who are trying to figure out how to live their faith in today's world. His ability to blend his deep traditional faith with modern technology, like with his website on Eucharistic miracles, is so inspiring and relatable for young people.
Yeah, it's like he was ahead of his time. It challenges the idea that faith and the modern world have to be separate, right?
Exactly. He showed that you could be deeply devoted while also engaging with today's culture and technology.
It reminds me of something you said earlier about how faith needs to adapt and find new ways to express itself.
Absolutely. And it also emphasizes how important authenticity is in faith. You know, Carlo's compassion, his service to others, especially those in need, and his devotion to the Eucharist, it wasn't just for show. It was who he was.
Mm-hmm.
That genuineness is something young people really connect with. You know, they value honesty and sincerity.
So based on what we've learned, what would you say are the key takeaways from Carlo's life that are relevant for young people and maybe even for those of us who aren't so young anymore?
I think there are a few really important points. First, he shows us that it's about having a real personal relationship with God, not just following religious practices because you feel obligated to.
Yeah.
Second, his life really highlights how much young people can contribute, both in the church and in the world. You know, he showed that age isn't a barrier to having strong faith or making a difference. And of course, the way he used technology so creatively and responsibly to spread his faith is a really important lesson, especially in today's digital world.
Right.
And lastly, his commitment to love and service, particularly for those who are often overlooked, is something we can all learn from.
And it seems like his beatification had a big impact all over the world. The article mentions this global wave of recognition and devotion after the ceremony.
Yeah, the response has been incredible. There have been prayer services and vigils happening all over the globe, focusing on his life and teachings, with a special focus on his devotion to the Eucharist. And many youth ministry programs around the world are using his story and example to encourage faith and responsible use of technology among young people.
And it's not just those things, right? The article talks about more people going on pilgrimages to places connected to his life, and even statues and shrines being built in his honor.
Right, and the fact that dioceses are including him in their religious education programs shows they expect him to have a lasting impact on future generations of Catholics.
Yeah, it seems like he's really become someone people can look up to, someone they can relate to, but also aspire to be more like in their faith and their actions.
Exactly. He is very inspirational.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the life and legacy of Carlo Acutis, what would you say is the main message here, the most important thing to take away from our conversation?
I think the core message is that Carlo Acutis represents this hopeful coming together of deep spirituality in the modern world. His life is a powerful testament to the fact that strong values and a strong faith can not only survive but thrive in today's world.
Right.
His dedication to the Eucharist and his innovative yet reverent use of technology to share his faith are incredibly relevant in our increasingly digital world.
It's really encouraging to see someone so young bridging that gap between tradition and progress, showing that they don't have to be at odds with each other.
Absolutely. He challenges us to think differently, to see that faith and technology can actually work together to connect us more deeply, both with God and with one another.
So to leave you with a final thought inspired by Carlo Acutis's life, think about this. How can you, in your own unique way, use your talents and resources, whether it's through technology or other means, to bring more understanding, compassion, or connection into the world around you?
That's a good question.
You know, are there ways you can reflect his virtues, his deep faith, his selflessness, and his innovative spirit in your own life? It's something to ponder on, even after this deep dive ends. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.